Amen, amen. Good morning. Hello, dear friends in Jesus. We praise him with one voice. Amen, amen. So let's begin this morning with our mission statement. What do? We love God and love others. And what do we say? I love God and I love you. Amen. So we're in our final week of this five-week series called People Matter. In the first week, we saw that you matter because you are made in God's image fearfully and wonderfully. And then we saw that after that families matter, both your spiritual and your physical family matters. And then volunteers matter. And last week, our esteemed pastor Peter shared with us that friends matter. And today, as appropriate, we're going to finish on Father's Day with the idea that fathers matter. So happy Father's Day, everybody. In a sense, this is the easiest sermon of the series to preach because God literally uses the title Father for himself. So earthly fathers, just do that. Just be exactly like God, and then you got it covered, right? So easy peasy, right? So since it's not that easy to just copy God, God our Father actually gives us some direction on how to be fathers and what we're looking for in fathers here on this earth. And his word will be our guide this morning for what God has to say in regard to fathers. Not my ideas, but rather God's ideas for each of us. And so we're going to look at three movements today, because that's what pastors do in sermons. It has to be three movements because of the Trinity. Otherwise, you know, you're sinning if you don't do three things in your sermon. So there'll be three movements. Not really. That was a not good joke. There'll be three movements this morning. We're going to see God as our Father. Then we're going to see a couple of instructions to earthly fathers. And then last, we're going to see the radness of fathers. So let's check out those three movements. The first is God as our Father. And this is for all of us. The middle section may be just for like guys who are going to be fathers or who are fathers. But this first part is for all of us. God as our Father. In Malachi 2, it says this: don't we all have one Father? Did not God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Malachi is talking to God followers, and that we know also in Christ we are adopted into God's family, and he becomes our Father. God uses this idea of Father to refer to himself throughout scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament. And this is really cool because when God was picking analogies of all the things, he said, how can I reveal myself to people? How will I? What analogy will I use that they will understand these human beings? And God picks the analogy of fatherhood for himself. He said, I'm going to be a father to these people. This shows that God views fathers as critically important. God views fathers in the highest possible sense because that's the mode that he wants to be recognized as we interact with him as human beings. And so fathers are important to the structure of humanity. Now we joke that Father's Day is the least celebrated holiday, just slightly behind Arbor Day. But the reality is that fathers are critical to the success, both spiritually and physical, of their own families and of our society. Here's a really neat passage about God the Father. Check this passage out in Deuteronomy. Then I said to you, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached the place. The Lord carried the Israelites out of slavery. He fought off their enemies. He provided them in the wilderness through their travels, and he brought them into the promised land. When a child isn't strong enough to do something on their own, their father carries them through it. God provides wisdom and grace in the face of uncertainty. And with the protection of a loving father, a child does not have to be afraid. Now, this is an Old Testament passage, and although it's not directly addressing us, it does show us a principle about God. That God has got you. That God is a father who will carry you. God carries you when you're lost. God carries you in the time of wilderness. And that's a spiritual or an emotional or a mental reality, the wilderness in life. We all experience wilderness. And the Bible says that God will carry us through that to reach his place. One of my favorite memories of being a father was when my daughter was really little. My daughter's a total mommy's girl. She, like, mommy, mommy, mommy only, all until she realized I pay the bills, and then it was daddy's, and can I get fake nails, and can I get boba, and that kind of stuff. So, but all throughout growing up, she was always mommy's girl, mommy's girl. But occasionally, and my wife is really little. She's not super strong, right? So occasionally we'd be out, and Kayla would get really tired, and then we're walking somewhere, and we didn't have the stroller, and she'd get so tired that she'd want to be carried. But my wife, when my wife carries her, they're like, even my daughter's this big, and that's about the same height as my wife. So, like, it's like she can't really carry her. And there were times, just not a bunch, but a couple of times, where I got to pick up my daughter when she was really little. And she would be like a spider monkey where they, like, grab around the waist. They grab around your head, and she lays her shoulder on me like those octopus you could throw against the wall, the sticky things like that. And she's, like, around here. And I got to carry her. And that's one of my favorite memories. And it didn't happen very often because only mommy normally got to take care of her, but occasionally she got tired enough where I got to carry her. And I think that's exactly where we are with God. We don't always need to be carried. Like, mostly, like, we're pretty good. Mostly we're hanging out okay. Mostly we're not totally lost. But there are times in life when we just need to say, God, I need you to carry me right now. I am too tired to do this on my own. Can you just pick me up? And we just go like this, and then he grabs us, and you can put your arms right around God. That's the picture that God wants to give to us. Like a father with their child, he says, God carries us, in this passage, he says, through the wilderness, just like he did the Israelites. What an incredible reality that we can enjoy that in God, our Father. But it's also exemplary for those of us who are blessed enough to be fathers. We get to carry our kids to the safety of God. This is a fact. This is, in fact, the first instruction that God gives to fathers to carry their children into the places of God. Check this out. Instructions to fathers. There's just three verses we're going to look at. The first one is Ephesians chapter 6 and 4. It says, fathers, don't frustrate your children or exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So you see two parts here. There's a don't part and there's a do part in the verse. Do you see them? They're both essential. Both these are key to raising up your kids. The don't is, fathers, don't exasperate or frustrate or get your kids to get hot and angry. If a father angers or frustrates his kids, he's going to lead them into sin and it's going to steer them away from God and God's desires for them. Now, this is super hard not to do. It's going to be incredibly difficult. Following Paul's admonition requires fathers to be intimately attuned to their child's specific needs, to be intimately attuned to the needs of the heart of their own kid, sensitive to their weaknesses, able to understand what frustrates them. Because not everything will. Some things will set them off more than others. And a father's got to know that so that he can avoid that. This requires immense humility. As a father, you're tempted to just say, like, oh, shut up. You know, like, I don't know. I am. But the other fathers are better than me. I'm tempted to say, like, shut up, kids. You don't know. Just do what I tell you. And I'm tempted to just run over them, sort of not think about that they're getting frustrated. I tend to say, like, just do what I tell you to do because I know it's the right thing to do, rather than consider how I approach them. Is that going to set them off? And so I think it requires immense humility to be able to do this verse and gentleness that doesn't come naturally, but I think is necessary as we navigate with our kids. So that's the don't part. But the do part is really important. Your primary responsibility as a Christian father is to train them, to instruct them in the Lord. See, there's a don't part, don't frustrate them, but do train them so they could walk with the Lord. I can help you do it as your pastor, but it is not actually my primary responsibility to train your kids. It's your primary responsibility as a father to train up your kids. The youth pastor can help, the children's pastor can help, the church can help, your mentor friends can help. Those are all really important. But it's the primary responsibility of the father to train up their kid in this way. This is a non-negotiable. It's not a biblical suggestion. It is a must. Fathers, you must do this. And this takes hands-on time and intentionality. The moments for this won't magically appear. You, as dads, have to make them appear. And don't forget that instruction and training is caught as much as it is taught. So they better see you doing it, pursuing God as well. The Old Testament says the exact same thing. It says to impress God's commands on your children. Check out Deuteronomy 6:6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So this passage comes just after Moses shared the Ten Commandments with Israel. But for Christians, fathers, the heart of this verse is that God's word should be on your minds throughout your day, that you have the responsibility to teach your children God's desires, that it is your primary responsibility. Dads have the leading responsibility in raising their child. Hear me out. You don't have the sole responsibility, but you have the leading responsibility. My wife, who is Hedgen, it's not that she has no responsibility to do it, because she does, and we partner in it. But God tasks fathers to be the leader in this area. So men, you have the leading responsibility to do this, to see that my kids and your own kids are brought up in the training of the Lord, the discipline, and in the instruction of the Lord. So what's that kind of look like daily? When you see yourself as like the lead responsibility holder, it helps you view all the people around you as just assistants. They're not the ones that are going to do it. You're the one that's going to do it, but they can come along and help you. And so you have people like grandparents or teachers or fellow church members, pastors or coaches. Like, you name the person, it doesn't matter. They all have sorts of areas of expertise, but your job is to plug your kid in these right kind of places so that your kid can draw near to Jesus. It's your responsibility, and all these other people can help you do it, but ultimately you've got to shoulder that burden in raising your child to know the Lord. Now, this assumes that you take the initiative. It means that you know what's happening in your child's life and where they are in their walk and what kind of things they need to come alongside them, how you can best support them as they walk with the Lord. It means that you maybe read the Bible together. Maybe you go to church together. You intentionally bring God questions when you're having dinner together. Make sure that they stay plugged in at church, that you pray with your kids and you pray over your kids, that you spend both times doing that. Maybe you go on missions as a family. We have a couple of families doing that this year, and it's fantastic. When we decided to go back to missions right after COVID, we weren't sure, you know, COVID was ending, but it didn't end like on a clear date. It was kind of like ending. And so when we were kind of thinking about should we go back to missions, my son Ethan and I went on an exploratory trip to Thailand to see if it was open or available prior to setting up for our team to come. And that was the first time that we went to this city called Kong Jiem, where we now have a whole center, and you guys are pretty familiar with that. But while we were there, we had the opportunity. Our friend Peter had been doing ministry for about 3 years or 2 years in the village, and Ethan and I had the opportunity to talk to the kids about Jesus and to actually ask them to accept Christ as their Savior. And that was one of the most powerful moments in my life, that there were 12 or 15 of these kids who said yes to Jesus. But there was a really cool, incredible moment that happened a day or two later. So when we were about to go, we asked, hey, could we just pray for each of you? So we gathered in this, there's no AC at the time, in this like small room, and there were like 25 of us or 20 of us in this, and we're just praying individually over each of these kids. And it was so powerful. And then after that finished, Ethan and I went back to our hotel room, and there was such a powerful movement of God in our lives as he allowed us to bless them and be blessed by them. We got back to the hotel room, and we put on this worship song by Cody Carnes, and the first part of it says, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. And we sat there, and we were like crying, and we were praying, and we were worshiping. The kids had given us like a goodbye gift, but they're broke, so they didn't have like paper to put inside the little gift bag that they got, so they tore up paper, and they put like 3 pieces of candy and like some poke sticks or something in there. And we didn't know if we should eat them, so we didn't. We just saved them, and then now they're in my like china cabinet because you can't really eat that gift, right? You have to like save it. I think we ate one of the candies to honor them. But that's one of my favorite memories in all my life. And I think it's exemplary. I know I don't always do the right thing as a father, but it's one of those moments where it honored God, it pointed to him, and we were connected doing God's work. And so it's super powerful. So fathers, the next thing they do after their training, they encourage and they comfort their children. Check out 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his kids, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. The unique relationship between father and child creates many opportunities to do this verse if we're open to it. When your children try something difficult, you get to be the one that encourages them. You get to be the one that says, like, come on, you can do this. I know you got this. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I'm behind you. When your child's hurting, the father gets to come along and comfort them and say, it's okay. I got you. And a good father demonstrates how to live out God's calling. So lastly, our last movement is the radness of fathers. One of the cool parts about fathers of faith is that your faith will be a refuge for your children. Look at this proverb. There's a wise saying in the Old Testament that says this: whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it'll be a refuge. Do you hear what that's saying? When families face hardship, children look to their parents to reassure hope and encourage them. If a father respects and submits to God in all things and he's following the Lord, and his faith is going to be a source of comfort for his children, and it's going to help them feel secure regardless of the troubles that are coming against them in life. Now, that's true when they're young, but it's not really that important when they're young. When does this become really true? When they hit these like tumultuous times during their teenage years. You know, when things are going crazy inside of you and your life is like wild and your mind is wild and your emotions are wild and like your friends are like pulling you in different directions, you know what you really need? Something safe and secure to land on. And that's what the Bible says fathers are. You know, when you get into young adulthood, you go to college and you hear all these other ideas and they're not quite what the church had taught you and there's all these other pulls and then you have these other things that are going on and there's drugs and there's girls and there's like ideas and it's like overwhelming. And life seems topsy-turvy. Do you know what they need? A place that's secure. A secure fortress where your kid can come back and take refuge and find that you're still the same. You're still rooted in Jesus. You are firmly following him. Lastly, a Christian father's greatest joy. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. If your father is a Christian and you want to bring your dad joy, do this. Walk in Jesus. This is also true about God our Father. You want to bring God joy? Walk in the truth of Jesus. When a child pursues truth and walks in wisdom, it makes their father joyful because then they can trust their children are going to make good decisions and they're going to represent the family well and they're going to focus on what's right regardless of their circumstances. Children walking in truth assures you that they can handle whatever situation is going to come up. It shows that you have actually done your number one due, which was to instruct them in the Lord. Look, a goal of our fathering isn't success by the matrix of the world. The goal of fathering isn't success so that your kids are in an Ivy League school or earning lots of money or become prom queen or famous actor or professional athlete. Well, those things, they're not bad and they're nice in and of themselves. They're not the goal. If you view those things as the goal, to get a good education, to get a good job, if those are the goal, then you're going to have failed. The goal has to be that your kids can see and meet and walk with God. Our goal is to lead our child to love Christ, obey his word, and function as an adult with a biblical worldview. So the last thing I'd like to do today on Father's Day is I would like for us to honor our fathers. And the first way I want us to do that is I want you to think of a memory about your own father or your father figure. I want you to think of a good memory about your father or father figure. And it doesn't matter if your dad was a Christian or is a Christian or not. And it doesn't matter if he's alive or he's passed away at this time. I want you to think of a memory about your father, a good memory about your father or your father figure right now. And what we're going to do, just for a moment, we're going to pause here in service, and you're going to pray a thanks to God for that specific memory. So we're going to honor our fathers. My father wasn't a Christian, and he's since passed away, but even in this time, I'm going to honor my father and remember him well and honor God and think of that. So let think of that memory, and I want you to pray a thanks to God for that specific memory just for about 15 seconds, okay? So we're going to do that right now. I know it may be a little awkward, but that's okay. So go ahead and just think of that memory and worship and thank God for that. We pray this, amen. I encourage you, like, if your dad is still alive, text him or call him right after service and just bless him in the name of the Lord. The second way I want to honor dads is I actually want to have all of our fathers in this room to stand up. So if you're a dad, would you stand up now and would you stay standing and receive a prayer of blessing? Now, I can call you out. I know which one of your dads. Like, so, but yeah, Matt, stand up. Your wife has to push you up. So all of our fathers, what we're going to do is you're going to receive a prayer of blessing right now. And so if you're with me in this congregation, you're seated, let us pray over the fathers that God allows us to be around here at this church. Let's pray for them right now. God, we just want to pray a blessing over our fathers, the ones that are here, the ones that are watching online. God, we pray that you will let your presence fill them up today, but every day. That they will find themselves secure in you, God, that they will find themselves excited about you, that they will find themselves assured of your goodness and your love for them. God, I bless each of these fathers and the task that they have to continue to be dads, not just when their kids are little, but all through their older time. And we pray a prayer of blessing over them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you men stay standing? And the rest of us, we're going to join them standing. And as we stand together and close our message time, I want to put the focus back on God for just a moment. Now, we may have had mixed bag with our own fathers here on earth, but we all have a heavenly Father who loves us deeply and dearly. And so I want you to take a moment in your own words just to tell God, thank you, God, and to worship God on Father's Day, because ultimately God is our ultimate Father. He's our God in heaven, the one who loves us more than anyone else, the one who will carry us no matter the situation we find ourselves. He is our truest Father. And so let's take a moment together and just worship that Father. In whatever words you have, would you just whisper it out, at least not in your mind. I want this one to be a little bit out loud. Now, you don't have to be like Daniel and shout super loud, but you can be just a whisper it out or talk it out, just a worship to God as your Father. Let's do that right now in one voice. Father, I just turn to you and I worship.